Okay, folks, this is Pacifica National Board's Finance Committee meeting of September 15th, 2009. See, I'm your chair, Jamie Ross, and we're going to be reviewing budgets this evening. The first thing is to have our secretary call the roll. So, Arpol, if you could call the roll.
Okay. Grace Aaron. Rhonda Dixon. Brian Edwards-Tiekert.
Here.
Terry Gundelman.
Here.
Campbell Johnson.
Here.
Beth King.
Yes, I'm here.
Alberto Luera.
Present.
R. Paul Martin here. Jamie Ross.
Here.
LaVarne Williams. Susan Young. Okay, we have seven. That's four.
Okay, folks. Thank you, R. Paul, and welcome, everybody. Let's see. So tonight we have, as our budget review process, we've been sent a lot of budgets in the past couple of days for us to review. So I propose that we start this evening by looking through the KPFA budget, and then if we have time, we'll go on to the KPFK budget. However, if people would like to do things in another order, that's fine with me too. So I have no strong opinion.
Sounds good.
So is there any objection to that plan?
No objection.
Mr. Chairman?
Okay, yes, Alberto.
Just a quick question. Will we touch the T situation again this evening, or are we just waiting?
I guess we won't.
Okay.
If in theory, if we have time, we should.
Okay. Okay, no problem. That's okay.
That was Brian, though. I didn't want to speak for the chair.
I know.
Well,
I heard you.
Okay.
Thank you.
If people would like to put that, you know, my feeling is if we'll get, you know, they kind of take a long time.
Jamie, no problem. I was just wondering, asking whether we would, you know, just to remind ourselves, we still need to finish D, but we don't have to do it right now. I think we should go on with it.
Okay, so does everybody have a copy of the KPFA budget that Brian sent this afternoon? Okay.
Hi, LaVarne.
This is a spreadsheet named KPFA Budget FY 2010, updated W709, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Is there anybody that needs help with that? If we all have it, then that makes our lives easier. So then...
Did you send that, Jamie?
Brian sent it today.
And I sent it to Efren, because he hadn't gotten it yet. He had some questions. I think I can't get to my computer right this second because Bertos is here and he's working the plan as we speak. So I'm taking a break while I talk on the phone. But I was working the budget. I'm sorry, but Evan still had a number of questions, and I guess if I can get on the computer, I'll send that to you.
Okay, fantastic. Okay, let's see here. So. Why don't we, Brian, I guess Brian, it would be appropriate for you, Brian, to walk us through the major points of this budget and how it compares to last year, unless people would prefer to do things a different way.
That sounds good to me.
That makes sense to me. Is that okay?
Sounds good. I'll start in revenues.
Right. I'm sorry to interrupt. If people have questions, I will record them. Just make sure that it's clear. Last week, I recorded them and sent them off. So if I can get them all, I'll send them off. Okay, sorry to interrupt there.
Let me give a real big picture. The things we basically had to balance out was our existing deficit plus what we add when our health insurance benefits go up. With the number of people on our benefits plan and an average increase of 12 to 20%, we had about $100,000 in expenses a year, unfortunately, just by holding steady with the benefits plan we have, plus the legal expenses that Ricardo told us to expect based on current litigation and ending some of the active things. We looked at a bunch of that based on what he told us as a one-time expense, and balanced the ongoing deficit plus the increase next year from the benefits going up with about 430,000 in staff cuts, and then balanced the amount that we thought was one-time expense on legal with increase on their fundraising days. Management was leery of cutting more than that. So what you'll see if we start in the revenue section is an extremely small increase in forecast listener support from a projected 2.98 million this year to 3.02 million next year. Our forecasts are based on 10 months of actual, 2 months of forecasts. And this is basically just from adding days to fund drives. We've kept our three major fund drives to 17 days and our summer drive to a week and a day. This budget contemplates adding 3 days of fundraising in November outside our regular fund drive schedule on the tail of the archives fund drive and adding 1 day to our winter fund drive to hit those goals. So they took our average per day fundraising and said, well, what can we get out of adding days? If you compare the donations information, what we did have as major donations on row 8 is now, per instructions from the national office, spread out over two different lines based on whether it's below or above $5,000. But if you add them up, we're forecasting $375,000 for this year and forecasting it dropping to $326,000 next year. Website income has changed, again, because of a reclassification. We hadn't actually, I don't think, used this line in our budget before, but my understanding is the National Office is asking people to book non-fund drive web revenues. In other words, gifts that come in through the website outside of fundraising calendars on this line. So this would have been under listener support in prior years. Other income, row 12, also is a line we've not had before, but it's part of the new template. This is donations that come in, and we don't know why. In other words, it's just if money shows up in the mail attached to no direct mail campaign, no invoice pledge, no identifiable pledge, it goes under other income. And again, that's something that would have been under listener support before. Moving along, everything else is pretty much trend forecast. The CPB number, we don't have a hard number on our next year's allocation, but this is the number the National Office gave us, $451,000. I'm not sure of that. I think we may come in $90,000 to $100,000 short of that. The National Office was telling us to work with last year's number, but or this current year's number. This current year's number included a $90,000 catch-up payment from CPB. So I don't know why we'd expect that to go forward. But we don't have paperwork on the grant that any of us have seen yet for the coming year. Grants, non-operating and restricted. Non-operating is an ongoing $60,000 commitment we have from one foundation. Restricted is several different foundations that normally give us money. I think only 15,000 is actually contractually committed at this point of that 55. There's a detailed schedule later in the budget. And then given a quick thumbnail of expenses, like I said, the budget contemplates cutting 430,000 from salaries. That's the main balancing mechanism. We cut a bunch of smaller discretionary items, things like newspaper subscriptions, to nip and tuck where we could. The big increase is legal.
Is legal under admin?
Yeah, it's under admin professional services. It's General Ledger Code 6530. Okay. We're forecasting 190,000 on that line next year. Again, based on Ricardo's best guesses.
What row is
that? Against an row 73 on the budget FY 2010 tab. That's, again, against a forecasted actual of 43,000 this year.
Can you tell me why the board expenses are up 28?
It's because the coming fiscal year has two elections in it.
Okay, so that's where the elections are located.
Yeah.
Okay. In other words, there's the election, the 2009 expenses plus the beginning of 2010 expenses.
Exactly.
Okay.
On which line is that, please?
That's row 100 in the spreadsheet.
Thank
and the code is 695.
Yeah, or 23.
And then in terms of what the safety relief valves are, if the assumptions don't bear out, for instance, if that CPP money doesn't come in as budgeted, there's a bottom line surplus of $118,000. And then there is one major capital project that's an upgrade of our phone system that's budgeted to happen in March. If fund drives tank, we'll have two major fund drives before then. That's something that can be deferred to keep that from throwing us into the red. Probably a bad one to defer for too long, but better than scraping bottom on the bank account. So that's kind of the big picture on the budget. That's what our assumptions are, and that's where our safety relief valves are if our assumptions don't bear out. And as I understand, what National Office is asking for at this point is a more detailed divisional breakdown on where cuts will be and breakdown on how they'll be realized between gross salaries and associated benefits and so forth. Our business manager is working on that right now. I'm hoping that we can look at the overall amount here and service any other questions the group might have so that we can get you something ready for approval in final form when we bring that back.
This is Grace. Can I comment on that briefly?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, I talked to Efren yesterday, and I said to decouple that reporting from the budget process and to send us the KPFA budget so we can review it, because we really don't need the payroll separated out by department in order to review the budget process in the Finance Committee. So he said he would do that. They simply want that for the National Office so that they can put it into Great Plains in the right columns. You understand? And figured the budget pressure, they'd be more likely to get it with budget pressure. But I'm sorry, I made sure that there was more National Finance Committee pressure to get the budget out than there was the desire from the National Finance staff to have their categories filled in properly.
Well, in any case, that's getting prepared for y'all, so you'll have it, and we do have a budget here.
Okay,
great. Thank you. Okay, just in general on the legal, the amount that you have expensed for or that you have in a budget versus your expenses for this month, I think that I can talk about this so much in terms of the open session, but if there is a motion in the P&B to approve a certain expense, you know, if the motion is there, the cost is there, we're going to have to approve those expenses in 2009 versus taking it over to 2010. So I don't have it right in front of me. But I did send a copy of the budget that Brian sent to Efren so he can, I'm not sure if he had your latest version, Brian. But that is one area that I think we need to look at. And on the CPB, we have the numbers that Lynn has in her spreadsheet are the actual numbers, because those numbers are given to her. She knows what the exact numbers are, so there shouldn't be a question about that. And
I asked her for the documentation she has on the grant, but it's for this year's grant, not next year's grant.
The information that I received was that the information that she had was for the information for the CPB funding that comes in. And that's a given number. It's not, you know, she knows what that number is, so we can, that's what she told me, so we can, go over that again. I'll be in the office on Friday.
Okay.
I'll be there.
That'd be great. What I'd love to see to be sure about our numbers is the actual grant agreement from CPB.
That's what I'm talking about.
It may be, I think they might have switched to two-year grant allocation so that you get the same for 2 years, but that doesn't resolve the question
of the 90K.
Our catch-up payment gets duplicated. Yeah, so this is the number that's been been given us, but I haven't seen documentation to support it yet. Mm-hmm. Since it's half a million dollars, I'd rather have it nailed down.
Well, yes, that's what she had assured me. And let's see, on the revenue, you're doing the, actually, you said you have increased some of the days, and comparing to this year, it's like basically even, so there's no increase in revenue. And I guess like what I wanted to see also, not in terms of just the Finance Committee approving in terms of what the numbers are, but that in terms of achieving the revenue targets themselves, you know, what are, like, particularly with BAI, we have the changes in terms of how fundraisers are done, you know, in terms of the learning curve for programmers. So, you know, what I need is to have some narrative by the general manager to say, you know, how they really think that they're going to achieve the targets for the fund drive. You know, are they going to do business as usual, or are they looking at some changes? So probably I'll need to see some narrative on that, even though your revenue stream is, our projections are about the same as they were for the current year, which was, below the budget for 2009. But again, we really need to see that narrative, because we don't want to get caught in the same position that we're in 2009, where with the budget is not being met, and there has not been any change in terms
of
how fund drive is done. I'm sorry. Let me just finish this. There's no strategy, no plan in terms of how you're going to achieve the listener support that you have in your fund drive. So I'd really like to see that.
What I'd like you to do is send us a model or a template for such a report. We've raised more than our budget for listener support in this fiscal year, at least in the 10 months we have, 9 months we have data for from your office. And the only narrative description that came out of our general manager is we're going to add a few days to make those targets, but it's based on our average per day fundraising this year.
Can I say something?
Okay, yeah, let's see. Next on the stack is Luzette, and then I have a couple questions.
Thank you. Chair, through you, I want to agree with Brian on the issue of the CPB. That's what Robert told me, that he wasn't very sure whether the figure he had was the exact figure. So there's something going on. We need to be sure what it is.
Okay.
Secondly, I think Levan raises a very, very important point, and it's something I wanted to talk about. I think all of us, the five stations and the central office, we seem to be working. The only guidelines we want to know are the figures. At local level, I've been asking for a business plan, a visionary document, and I think that is lacking throughout the network. How about us starting at some point where central office would produce something like it and the rest of us just dovetail into it, since we are a network? I think we're working in isolation here, and the narrative should come from everywhere. I would ask that PFW produces something like that, and eventually I hope that Grigsby or the next GM would fulfill my dream for us to come up with a plan. That's
so, Luzette, if I could just ask you a clarifying question. Are you asking for something like, you know, we have budgets, which is basically a document with about 10,000 numbers in it. You would like to have some text say, you know, in the coming year we plan to do this and that and the other thing?
I'm asking whatever a business plan means. That's what I'm talking about, so that all of us are on the same page with respect to where we're going, and some of these figures would mean a lot more to all of us throughout the network.
Okay.
So we will have a master plan from central office, and maybe with some input from the general managers, and then the general managers would have their own plans, which would dovetail into the master plan. Because right now, all we seem to be concerned about are the figures, the guidelines of figures, without in abstract.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, thank you. That's a good idea.
Oh. Thank you, Lizette. That's exactly, I think, what we need.
You're welcome.
Yeah, the budgets kind of imply that, but they don't. They never quite state it. Let's see, Brian. Yeah, you would like to be on the stack?
Yes.
Okay, I'll put you on after me. Let's see, Brian, I have a couple questions.
Shoot.
First of all, I'm sure it says here, but I haven't looked at it. How many days have you done fundraising, or do you plan to do fundraising in the current year?
That would be...
Assumptions and historical?
62, I think.
Okay.
And you know, that would be a good worksheet to have from all the stations. I really like the fund drive histories we had.
Last year? Okay.
I can have to have that updated from last year.
Okay. And let's see here. I guess my biggest question with the budget, for me, I have no problem with the increasing listener support by doing a little extra days. The major donor and donation seems reasonable. The other income seems pretty reasonable. My main question, do you really think that you guys are going to be able to make these budgeted salary cuts?
Well, thankfully, I don't have to.
Right. No, it's not. I'm not. It's not a laughing matter, really.
No, it's not.
You mean operationally, can we sustain that level of cut?
Well, yeah, both. Yeah, I guess, will it damage the station? That's definitely one question. And
well,
the other question is that the current year budget plan staff cuts, which hadn't happened, or at least to my knowledge, hadn't happened until maybe recently, you know, for whatever reason. So I guess, A, how realistic is that these cuts would be made, and do you think they can be made in a way that would protect KPFA?
Well, I mean, I think the answer to that is they have to. We can't run a deficit any longer. We will run out of our savings. We spend more on salaries than most of the other stations. I think most of the people we employed are hardworking and add a lot of value to the station, but clearly there's a way to run a radio station spending less on salaries if you have to. It's somewhat harder to get there from spending more than to get there by restraining yourself in the first place.
No, absolutely.
And the big issue is about half our spending is on on-air staff, programming staff, either producers or hosts. And what our managers told us is that roughly proportional amounts are going to come from each division, which would mean about half the cuts would come from programming staff. That could absolutely hurt on-air fundraising. But it's certain that we'll bleed money if we don't do cuts. It's possible that we'll lower our fundraising if we do. If there's a certainty of a deficit against the possibility of weekend fundraising, I think you have to act to head it off. In terms of implementation, I really don't know the ins and outs. I know that there has to be notice to our union at KPFA, and that the union gets to dicker with management about not what positions are on the chopping block, but what bumping rights the people in those positions have and who has more seniority and so forth. I don't know where that is, and I don't know what the involvement of Pacifica National is in it. I see my role as weighing in on the budget. What this document says is those cuts are in place on the first day of the fiscal year.
I have a point of information.
Okay,
Go ahead.
Great. Then I'm going to ask another question.
Are we looking at the KPFA budget?
Yes.
Do you
have it, Grace?
No, I don't.
Okay, I can email it to you. Would you like that?
Yes, thanks.
Was that your question?
Yeah. Did you send it to everybody or?
Brian sent it. Here, I'll forward it to you. Do you prefer mail at your Pacifica address or the other address?
No. Send it to me at either ca.rr.com or graceaaron@gmail.com.
Okay. I will do that. Okay, let's see. But let me just do this and then. Oh my God, my poor brain. I can barely do one thing at a time. Anyway, but I had a question, a follow-up question for Brian. So, let's see, the cuts can be made. Oh, about the union there. Can you briefly describe who the union, what the union is, and does it represent all non-management staff?
It's CWA Local 9415.
Okay.
And the bargaining agreement covers all non-management staff with the exception of the contract exempts any assistant to the manager, which is not a position we have filled right now as a confidential position. And I think that's it.
Okay, so the union, basically the negotiations with the union are kind of the whole, will be a major part of this process.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I'm not involved in either end from implementing it. But
I understand.
I've read the contract.
Do you know, is management in touch, have they begun this process?
Grace would probably know better than I do.
Okay.
I've heard that there's a possibility that there's a 6 month extension being asked for.
That's the contract. That's not the layoffs.
Yeah, Brian's talking about the negotiations. There's a lot of layoffs. Yeah, there's like 400,000 plus in layoffs in this budget, and it's going to have to be worked out with the union there. So we're wondering, have they begun this process? You know, because last year when we had our layoffs, you know, people really didn't start it until after the fiscal year began. So the sooner it starts, the more likely that number is to be reached.
Yes.
I will follow up
on that.
Okay. Okay, let's see. I believe that's all the questions I have right now, Brian, but I may have more. Okay, let's see. And I heard Campbell.
Just so you know, the notice requirement here is 2 weeks or pay in lieu notice under the union contract. I think it was 30 days, CAI.
Notice requirement, so if they announce that you're being laid off, they can announce that 2 weeks before the layoff date?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or pay in lieu of notice. They can also give you 2 weeks pay on your last day.
Gotcha.
To make up for not giving you notice.
Okay. And you know, are there a lot of people, you may not know these things, I hope this isn't a confidential type issue, but are there a lot of people with vacation pay that they're owed?
You know, that would be on our balance sheet.
Okay.
If you want to see what the exact accrued liability is.
Okay.
Then I know Maria updates it every month. I can ask her for a copy of our most recent. But if you want to get a sense of where it typically stands at the end of a fiscal year, you can look at our audited financial statement from FY08.
Okay. Okay, well, that's very helpful.
There's a separate line for accrued vacation payable.
If you could forward that, that'd be great. Okay, let's see. Next on the stack, we had Campbell.
Yes, I just had a brief point in regard to what Lucette was mentioning. I think that the way in which our analysis is proceeding is something that's very useful for the NSC. You may recall earlier this year, shared a profile of business plan and how to do it with the NSC when we were considering the loan situation, the $1.1 million loan. And I think that our approach here takes a look so that we can drill down on numbers within each state, each station, and still have a focus on what's happening with the network as a whole. That I don't think would be similarly appropriate under a business plan situation. So I think what I'm saying is that there is a profile for a business plan that's available, and Lucette, I'd be delighted to share that with you. However, I think that the way in which we've made adjustments over the past year or so in regards to how the individual station budgets are analyzed along with the national office and PRA is, you know, a very valuable approach that is, I think, useful for our needs.
Okay, thank you, Campbell.
Well,
okay, let's see. I had another question, actually, Brian, come to mind. Is the payback of the Heath Endowment promissory note in here?
No, we approved this budget before the
okay.
Anyone here was informed of that.
Okay, so we need to add that.
The increased Arbitron payments are.
Okay.
And I don't, let me check the FSRN money. Hold on.
There is a quite an increase in programming, I noticed.
Can you give me a line?
That would be line 113.
I've got maintenance engineering.
Really? Row 113?
On what tab?
Oh, I'm sorry, I'm on cash flow. Whoops. Sorry, I'm in the wrong place. Okay. Oh, no wonder. All right. Zoom. Okay, sorry about that. Let me go down here.
6701.
Programming, other programming services. Yeah, 117. I'm sorry.
I think that's where the Arbitron increase is landing. I think that's the major portion of it.
So that's to be like a $10,000 increase. So this is a...
No, you know, we had an engineering problem with portable people meter this year.
You have to pay
so
more.
So we didn't pay the full year. Yeah, if you look at the prior year audited number, it was $24,000.
Okay,
that would be,
I got that.
That would be an appropriate increase.
Okay. Okay, so that's for the increased Arbitron. So I don't know where Free Speech Radio News would show up, because the payment for Free Speech Radio News is the same. Do you list income of that other CPB grant that pays for Free Speech?
It's, we list the full amount of the CPB grant, and then it's a restricted portion of that that pays
okay.
for Free Speech Radio News. So it's encompassed on the CPB income line. It is at all the stations.
Okay.
I should check on that. I think it's the $278 a month that's under non-operating grant expense, but I should confirm that
okay.
and make sure that we didn't miss budgeting it.
Can I make a quick comment about the Arbitron figure?
Yes, please do.
Is what you have in here 24,953?
That's what we have for fiscal year 2008. For the budget year, it's 32,485.
32,485. How can that be? I was told by RRC that the reporting per station with an upgrade in the Arbitron package would be $4,300 a quarter per station.
That's the total cost, right?
It's the total cost, and that comes to $17,200. Are you getting an upgraded package over that?
No, I don't think so. There might be other things budgeted on that line. It seems to be a catch-all, other programming expense.
Can you make a note to find out what those expenses are broken out?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just going through it, Grace, what I'm seeing is quarterly, what looks like... quarterly payments of somewhere around $5,300, and then a monthly expense of $985. That's probably for something else.
Okay.
That's also the line. Anytime we've paid for syndicated content, like from PRX, where that gets booked, we've been doing very little of that lately. They might be carrying over a base fund.
Do you have a more cost for Arbitron reporting because of Fresno?
No, they get their own Arbitrons.
Oh.
They're a separate nonprofit.
That's a separate budget.
Yes.
Okay.
They're a separate organization. We just have a contract with them for them to carry our content.
Okay.
I'm going through this document, Grace, to try to find detail on that budget line. I'm still not super familiar with this template.
You don't have to give it to, you don't have to give it to me now, but that was the quote I got from Dave Sullivan at RRC.
So that would be the total amount, or that would be the increase amount?
No, that would be the total amount, unless I'm mistaken, would go from $2,300 a month for the most rudimentary package to the next level up, which would be $4,600 a month. I'm sorry, per quarter. $4,600 per quarter per station.
I see. And
so you might want to call them because you don't want to be overpaying.
Sure, and this would be the same per station regardless of market size?
Right.
Okay.
I asked them about that. No, there's no discount because the station's smaller or anything like that.
Paul has a question.
Okay.
It's hilarious. I saw our new numbers. I guess they have a really small sample size for us. Because they showed us with 90,000 listeners in August and 135 in September.
90,000 in August and 135,000 in September?
On our CUME. I don't think we increased our audience by 50% in a month. I think
small sample is a big problem with us.
Small sample is a big problem, yeah.
I talked to Dave Sullivan about that, and he said that there's been ample criticism of Arbitron, and they are making adjustments.
Good for them.
The new system's in court now, actually. But
Paul,
anyway.
Question?
Please.
Yes, R. Paul, go ahead.
Yeah. The BAI Finance Committee has asked me to ask somebody who knows, what about the weekends on the new Arbitron? How much detail will there be on that in the weekend?
They do hour by hour on the weekends.
I'd like to respond to that question in a way. I don't know what Arbitron does, but looking at the Arbitron numbers that have come from our PPM data over the past year, I believe the weekend data, the weekday data is much more reliable because it averages 5 days. You know, you have five times as much data. The weekend days are much more likely to be flaky.
I'd like to know how you got any information. There was no Arbitron reporting for WBAI. So how could you?
No, for all the stations.
Oh,
every
sorry.
Station. You know, well, we got the new, we got PPM data at BAI up through December.
Oh, okay.
So I looked at them. And, you know, the thing is the pattern month to month in the listenership, you know, those listenership plots that have the bar graph, how many people are listening every 15-minute interval. It has kind of a shape to it. The shape for the weekday would be fairly reproducible report to report, but the shape for the weekend was much more variable.
Yeah, I saw my program director show me the new, more detailed data, which does each day, hour by hour, weekends and weekdays. And it was not reproducible from 1 week to the next. I mean, basically, once you get down to that hour by hour level, it's not useful at our audience size. You know, one Monday would look like your best day, the next week Wednesday would look like your next day, the next week Thursday. There's no rhyme or reason to it.
Right. Yeah, the best thing to do with the data is to average it. Somehow get it in a, I guess this is off topic, but if we could get the numbers and average over several weeks, you might have something useful. But, you know, one day's data is pretty sketchy.
Actually,
but I don't know that we answered your question, R. Paul.
We did that kind of analysis at KPFK, and there were anomalies, and it turned out that the anomalies were dropped listenership during fund drives. It was almost completely consistent.
So with the data you got, you believe the data was interpretable?
Well, I mean, it's not like we studied it tremendously, but, yeah, we studied it, and it was interpretable based on fund drives.
Uh-huh.
There was a drop every time during the dates of fund drives. So what looks like, you know, an Arbitron flaw actually turned out to be the exact times that we were in drive.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, we have detailed statistics of web listenership, and that seems to validate the Arbitrons to some degree. The web listenership corresponds pretty almost exactly to our Arbitrons, interestingly enough, and we have that
we have as much analytical information from the web listenership. Of course, it's different because only...
Well, the web listenership is actually the total. It's not a sample. It's the entire people. You know exactly how many people are listening on the web, right?
Exactly. And it's uncannily, it reflects the Arbitrons to a great degree. It's amazing. It's so yes, we have the raw data from the web listenership, which is not exactly a perfect sample either, because the demographics of web listenership are not necessarily the same demographics as the general listenership. But still, at KPFK, they seem to really correspond quite a bit.
Yeah, we found exactly the same thing. And with the exception of one or two programs of niche interest that probably attract national audiences, the listener behavior trends over the course of the day are exactly the same in Arbitron as they are in our web listenership stats. When you think about the fact that Arbitron might only have a few hundred people with their portable people meters at any one time to create their sample, when we're showing a few hundred people on our web stream, we're basically almost as statistically complex in terms of looking at listener behavior. But we're off topic.
Okay, yes. This is an interesting topic, though, that should be explored more in some venue, some form. Okay, let's see. R. Paul, did we answer your question?
Yes.
Okay, next I hear Alberto's voice.
I need to get off for a few minutes. I'll come back online as soon as I get to another landline. I'm in the process of leaving the radio station and moving to another telephone that I can call back in. I'll join you guys shortly. Have a good one. Bye.
Alberto, leaving the building.
Yes. Right. Susan?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Susan. I need to leave the building. Bye.
Okay. All right. Well, anyway, getting back to KPFA's budget, are there further questions about KPFA's budget? We need to add the Heath payback. We believe that the new Arbitron expenses are in the budget. The election expenses definitely seem to be taken care of. Like KPFT, it seems perhaps that even the budgeting is overly generous, really, in that line. And it seems like that the legal expenses are adequately budgeted for. I mean, they're generous.
I don't know if they are. I just know we put in what Ricardo told us to.
Exactly.
So, I mean, none of us are handicapping any cases from here.
Right. Well, I mean, it's a nice big number. Okay, so are there other questions about this budget from the committee?
Yeah, this is Lavarne. Okay. Just want to know when these changes will be made and when we can get that to the national office.
What, changes to the budget?
Right, like adding in the Heath and checking on the Arbitron. And I don't believe you had an answer on the FSRN.
Yeah,
so my punch list, I've got find out if FSRN's in there, and if it's not, get it in there. Get the Heath payback in there starting in November. Find out what besides Arbitrons is listed under other programming expense. Did I miss any?
I think, was there a question about the headcount, or what you said if the cuts will be effective October the 1st? Is that what you said?
That's what the budget says. I don't make them.
No.
There's skepticism on at least this member of the committee.
But
that happened last year. I don't know.
So I guess the question is just to confirm that with Lin-Lin.
Okay. So the one thing they'll want to know with the payback is how we show that in the budget. We can't show it as an expense because it's stuff that the foundation's already accrued as an expense. That would be double booking. Paying back an internal debt as an expense.
Well, you have the interest expense. So what we've done is, let's see, I don't have the sheet in front of me in terms of how Efren has shown that.
Maybe if you could have Efren send out uniform instructions to all the units so that we could budget it consistently.
I haven't rescinded because he does have it on at least one of them. So I'll have Efren do that tomorrow.
Okay.
Okay.
And so adding that in would take the budgeted surplus down a little bit under, it'd be about $95,000.
What's the surplus now, 118?
Yeah.
I have a question, Brian. On lines 136 and 137, direct mail,
mm-hmm.
There's a remarkable increase here.
Yeah, that's from the line items not lining up.
Oh, I see. So it's not really an increase?
Let me see. We went over this in detail.
Oh, yeah, there is. There's a remarkable decrease in line 128.
Yeah.
Okay. And the premiums cost line 132 is been declining.
It has.
And that's a real thing?
Yeah, we've been doing more non-premium pitches. In fact, it's the only way we pitch our main Democracy Now! Broadcast now.
Uh-huh.
We actually raise more money than Amy does with her premiums.
That's
so
interesting.
Yeah.
Can I ask?
Anyway, that's all formula-driven from Efren's spreadsheet based on our trends in average premium cost.
Okay.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah, I'll call on you next. It does seem like the development expenses go up quite a good bit.
I think... Let me pull up the narrative I sent to my board with this budget. It's a little fuzzy for me. We did it like 6 weeks ago. There is an added mail drop in this budget.
Okay. Well, that would explain.
There's one added mail drop.
Okay.
Jamie, if you... You shouldn't take my word for it. If you have specific questions that you want more detailed answers on in writing, if you can shoot me an email, I'll get confirmed responses from our manager.
Okay. Okay, that's good. Okay, go ahead, Luza.
Did we change the criteria for... For a major donor, what would determine a major donor? Is it true that we changed it from 500 to 5,000? And when did this happen? I don't remember that. Does anybody know that?
LaFarn or Grace, do you guys?
Our Paul could...
Yeah, go ahead.
I don't know if I can clarify this, but I can say that WBAI has for a while been saying $500 is a major donor. And for more than one budgetary period, we have been having disagreements with the national office about that. Some people in the national office have in the past claimed no, $500 is listener support and the levy applies to it. So there's been a back and forth about that with some people from the national office saying it should be 5,000. And people from BAI putting in the budget 500 or above. So that's what I know about it. Apparently, at least at one station, there is a dispute about this.
Brian here.
But what is the PNB policy? Is there a stated policy where we might have gone through a process of discussing it and making the change?
Luzanne, I think the answer is in the past, it wasn't the same at each station, which is a problem. Now, I've seen explicit, consistent instructions that have been sent out by Efren and are reflected in this template on how to do things this year. And they're asking that major donations above 5,000 be on one line, which is 5752, and major donations between $500 and 5,000 be on another line, which is 5001. So they're breaking major donors up into two categories.
Just weigh in. Are you through, Brian? Are you?
Please, go ahead.
This has been an issue from way back, and basically it goes down to, as R. Paul said, in terms terms of if it's major donor, then it then listener support. Listener support is support to the national office is not applied to it. So, you know, it had turned it into like old games. So I think what you basically do is like look at it in terms of you know, what is it generally accepted in not-for-profit radio in terms of how do you define what listener support is, and then we can weigh that in terms of what do we think is best for the foundation. So what we'll do is we'll talk with our accountant and you know, get his opinion on that, and then we can just present it back to the National Finance Committee in terms of what their opinion is in terms of how do you classify it. And I think in the meantime, the way Evren has set it up in terms of determining the two, we can get into that.
So follow Evren's suggestion for
now. And then I will speak with Tony Pohl and see what is the generally accepted in terms of not-for-profit community supported radio in terms of definition of major donor versus listener support, and then I will get that information to you. So I'll speak with him when I get back into Berkeley.
Jen, can you just indulge me for another second or so? This is one of the reasons why I think we should be talking about what we're hoping to achieve before we start talking figures or talking figures in isolation. This is exactly one of the reasons. Anyway.
Okay. That's a good point.
Right.
Did LaVarne say you want to be on the staff?
No. I said that's absolutely right, which is what we had talked about earlier in terms of how do you really plan to, how does each general manager plan to actually meet those targets in terms of fund drives? You know, do you plan to continue to do the things you're doing now, or is there some change? So, right, we need to be talking about how do we get there. And again, it goes back to our experience this year where there was a budget and then there was no plan really to make it there.
I think the next question, Chair, would be whether we're prepared to give ourselves a timeline for this.
Oh, good.
Are you suggesting some sort of a motion?
No, I'd rather not have it like that. You know, let's just come to a consensus. But as long as we're doing something meaningful.
Excuse me.
Well, what I need to know is, this is for a national, you're talking, you're a suggestion for a national office-driven business, or...
It has to be, it will have to be, because...
Business plan, and then something that the local people will plug into.
Exactly.
I guess then... I guess the timeline would have to be when can National Office produce that?
Well, I don't think it's really, this is LaVarne, excuse me. I don't think it's, I mean, you know, maybe since I'm also on the operational conference calls on Thursday with the general managers, I think perhaps this is something that should come out of that general manager's operational group versus out of the National Office, because otherwise, you know, the CFO would make up this business plan to achieve targeted listener support, when I think that type of plan should come really from the general managers. So, you know, I hate to punt on this, but, you know...
Hey, you're one of those two.
Well, that's right. You punted to yourself.
That's exactly right. Well, me among the other four people. So I get to share the responsibility. So, that's basically where that would come from.
Do you want to, would you volunteer to, or would you, you know, bring this to them and try to
absolutely.
See how possible it is to get
them? Absolutely. And that, yeah, because that's the, right, that's the very question, since I was asking the question and Lucette, yeah. that I plan to ask, you know, as we produce these budgets, you know, we need to absolutely say that. So, you know, you can call it what you like, but, you know, how do you really plan to make that revenue that you have indicated for in your fund drives? I mean,
yeah.
what are some of the concrete steps, things that you're doing inside there to produce that income?
Okay.
Not only the income, the expenditure as well. For example, we look at, in the case of PFW, we have a very serious situation with our equipment, I'm not sure it's even in the budget here, but there's a very serious situation there. This is on top of us having to find a new home. So if we're working as a network and these things are happening in isolation and out of the figures, it doesn't make much sense. Then what will happen when we sit here this time of the year coming up with figures in isolation of what is exactly happening, halfway down in the year, we start changing figures again that don't match what we started with.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, thank you. That's a good point. So, Lavarne, you're going to bring this forward with the
manager? Yeah, I'm not really sure when the next meeting, if it's this Thursday or the following Thursday.
Okay, well... And Grace, are you there?
Yes, Grace, I'm here.
Did you hear this conversation?
The conversation about the what constitutes a major donor?
No, the one after that. Luzette suggested that proposed that it would be very helpful to have a business plan coming from Luzette. Posed the idea that it would come from the national office, but Lavarne said it would be better to come from the general managers. And discuss, you know, how are they going to meet their fundraising goals and expense goals.
But, you know,
Lavarne suggested that it be worked up out of your meetings with the teleconferences with the GM. So then that ball would be in your and Lavarne's court to make that happen.
That's fine, but I'd like some questions or what the parameters are of what. I mean, business plan can be a host
anything.
Of different things. So if we could narrow that down to
specific
questions.
I can do that.
And send that to me quickly because we're having a general manager meeting on Thursday morning, and we have them once every 2 weeks.
Now, this exercise cannot be in isolation of the central office. And I remember it was Brian last meeting said that we need to know what the central office's needs are. So that has to be a part of it. We're talking about a comprehensive document that would tell us, everybody, where this network is going from head to tail. And so everybody, including the central office, should be telling us what different areas of the office, what each head of the areas or departments, whatever you want to call them, what it is we want to achieve and what it would cost. And then that would come down to local level. So the national development would work with local development. And I believe if we did this, we wouldn't have as much problems during the year with financials.
Okay. Well, do you want? Can you be in touch with Lavarne and Grace?
I don't mind.
Okay. Good. I mean, it sounds like a good idea. It's like Lavarne agrees with you.
We do need to have a budget where we have. I'm not looking for an overall comprehensive plan. I think that Lizette is outlining, but you know, I would like to at least have steps A through
exactly.
D to show
yes.
exactly
That's
how
right.
do you plan to produce this revenue and these fund drives. What are some of the steps that you're doing in terms of trying to minimize the cost? Like you had mentioned, the thing about with Democracy Now at A, not really doing their premiums, but just selling Democracy Now mm-hmm. in order to get as doing a fund drive. You know, what are some of these steps that you're actually doing to enhance your fundraising? Are you doing the same thing that you did before? You know,
right.
There's like really a multitude of things that you can do in terms of enhanced fundraising and also in terms of, like you're saying, keeping costs down. And, you know how, and then in terms of technology, we had a meeting today in the office where one of the producers of the show was talking about how, in terms of keeping costs down with telephone costs and using Skype and how we can actually do things like that in order to... And your relationships with other you know, not doing advertising, but being able to do the links between various groups that know your work and getting that name, like the AI, out on the websites, you know, through a link to these various companies that are related to radio.